Annabelle, Colin said straight people can't enjoy things in June.
It's true. You have to be sad all month.
All right, I will. Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised.
Look at Pancake.
Pancake.
She's just wanning over there. Hi. Such a good win.
Such a good win in her bed.
I would win for you.
It was hot.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
You like that?
I do. I want someone to be like, do you like that? No. I actually hate it. Please stop. Immediately.
What? Happy Pride Month, everyone.
Is it Pride Month? Holy shit. Are you serious?
Yes.
We're in Pride Month now?
We're in Pride Month. If you're not gay, we're converting you.
If you're not gay or a fierce ally like myself, you may not listen to this podcast. Sorry, I don't make the rules.
Wait, wait.
Holy shit, I cannot believe.
Yeah, I know.
We're coming up on a year.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
our podcast being existence.
Is episode 44. 52 is like 8 weeks away.
Because we've really done one a week.
Yeah.
No breaks.
No breaks for us.
No gas.
No breaks.
No gas, no brakes, no car.
We're just a roller coaster car without the truck. Yeehaw.
So today, I decided to wear my Boston Massachusetts merch to the gym for the sole purpose of confusing everybody there, because it literally says Boston Massachusetts and then yeehaw in the middle of it, which I wore that shirt to work one time, and one of my residents was like, Boston, yeehaw, that's weird. And I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, funny. My friend made these shirts, and because I'm not going to try to tell a bunch of 80-year-old residents about a podcast.
What's a podcast?
Yeah.
It's like a radio show, but...
worse. In every way.
Oh, my goodness.
I literally decided to wear my Boston Massachusetts shirt with the super incorrect, not accurate news clipping on the back of it. And so I was walking on the treadmill and I was like, oh my God, everybody's probably reading this and is so confused.
That's funny.
But while I was at the gym, I had an inkling that my phone was, or my, not my phone, my headphones were going to die because I have like wireless Beats.
Mm-hmm.
I have wireless Beats headphones. God. So I had an inkling that they were going to die, but I was just going to ride it out because usually they last me like a pretty long time.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of one of my sets, fucking about to vomit, because that's how hard I'm pushing myself right now. I got a lot going on. I got a lot of feelings and a lot of things about feelings and feelings about things. So the gym is the way for me to do those things. So halfway through my set, my fucking headphones die. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll just finish this set. I'll stretch. Then I'll go home. Like, it'll be a short workout. Whatever. At least I win, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't, like, frequent the gym. I try to go like 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
When I was working, I never went. But now that I'm not working, 2 to 3 days a week, usually.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, a lot of the people there. Like, I don't go at the same time every day or, like, same day every week. You know, I just go when I feel like it. So I don't know anyone there. But my headphones die. I'm like, all right. So I finished this set, fucking scream the entire time. Not actually, but I felt like screaming. And then I find this spot to sit on the turf and roll around and work on hip flexibility and hip mobility. And I love stretching. It's like my favorite fucking thing to do. And it's so good for you. And so I was just sitting there on the turf, minding my own business. I look over. What do I see? A loose, singular child. A loose child in my gym, everybody. And we all know how Sierra feels about fucking kids in places where kids aren't supposed to be.
Can you rephrase that, please?
Sorry. We all know how we all know how Sierra feels about kids being in places that kids aren't supposed to be. I'm not talking about fucking kids. Good God. So I hate it. I hate it. I hate when kids are in places that they're not supposed to be in. And I hate when parents are just like, they make their own kids everybody else's problem.
Yeah.
So I see two kids. They're two little girls. Seem nice enough. I don't know. their kids, whatever. So they start playing with, you know how some gyms have like those freestanding like jungle gyms basically, yeah. and they have like the trampolines on them that you yeah. can throw the medicine ball at. These two girls start fucking going ham with medicine balls that weigh like a third of them, and they're chucking them at these trampolines, and then it's bouncing back at them with full force, and they're like barely catching it or like falling over. And I was like, all right, this is okay. I'm down for this. And then a third child
oh no
appears. Ugh. And I say, all right, I'm not having fun anymore. Whose fucking children are these? And mind you, I don't have headphones in, so I can hear everything.
Yeah.
And I see this guy walking on the track, like around where we were sitting, or where I was sitting, and he starts talking. He's like walking by and he said something to these girls, like, oh, that's fun, isn't it? Or something like that, about the balls and the trampoline. This all sounds so bad. But then he just kept walking. And I was like, all right, maybe like dad just, I was so confused because the gym has a daycare. The right. gym has a daycare.
Yeah.
So why are there children in the gym? Like, this is so not a place for them to be.
Yeah.
You know? And then a fourth child.
Well, where the fuck do they keep coming from?
I don't know. And that's exactly what I said, too. Because I was... Like, and they were of, like, all different ages, too. Like, it wasn't...
Appearing via mitosis.
Yeah. Like, I felt like they were doubling right in front of my eyes, and I didn't know what to do. And nobody was, like, watching them or claiming them. That was the other thing. Like, it made me so nervous. Where are your parents? Why are you here? Do you need help? Those would be my three questions for those children. Because what the fuck? So then dad comes up.
Dad wasn't the one on the track.
Nope. I don't know where dad was. And when I showed up to the gym, I saw kids there and I was like, oh, you know, like shit happens. Like sometimes you just got to go work out and you don't have childcare. Whatever. Right. I get it. But what? Why? Why did you bring four of them? And yeah. he kept telling them. He was, like, watching them do all this shit, like, chucking medicine balls and, like, messing with weights.
What the
heck? Yeah, and, like, playing with the kettlebells and shit like that.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, kids don't belong at a gym, period, where there's adults and shit.
Right.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Too much for a child. And imagine if that, like, stray, loose, feral child makes her way onto a fucking weightlifting platform where there are dudes lifting 500-600 pounds. Like, that's so not safe. And yeah. also, why are they here? Because I don't like it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not safe to people working out. It's also not safe to the kids.
Right.
Like, that's just...
No, that's what I was saying. Like,
yeah,
the kid could get hurt. It's
just fucking ridiculous.
Because these grown men...
But, I mean, imagine, okay... Little girl walks up to you. She surprises you in the middle of lifting.
Vomit.
Well, and you drop it on yourself and yeah. you get injured.
Yeah. I'd kick
Who's
it.
Who's liable?
The kid.
Better be.
Sue the
but
kid.
But like, I don't know.
Yeah, so.
Irresponsible parents irk me too.
Then after that, that whole little family unit was standing in the same place that they were the entire time. And behind them, I see a group of frat boys. And I said, no more. And I got up off the ground and I grabbed all my shit and I walked out because these kids had no idea. Like, they didn't have any goal or plan. Like, they weren't like, let's go hit cardio and then do some weights. You can spot me while I squat. It wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
It was just like, ooh, what's over here? And like messing around. And I'm like,
yeah.
I hate you. Get away from me. I hate you so much. Anyways.
Speaking of kids.
Is that what we're talking about, children? We're in a basement, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Jesus Christ. Give it to me. Oh, you're un...
I'm unbuckling it for you.
Pancake.
We're in a basement. I'm Colin. Basement. She's Sierra.
This is Pancake. The dog.
Pancake's a dog.
Yes.
Annabelle's a human.
The peanut gallery. I don't think she's on this planet right now.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Neither will we be in a couple seconds.
Fuck yeah. Where are we going?
Buckle up. Oh. Yep, there we go.
I got it.
We're going all the way back to 1946.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. May 20th, 1946, John Sarkisian, an Armenian-American truck driver, and Georgia Holt, a retired model and actress, brought a baby girl named Sherilyn into the world. 10 months later, Sherilyn's parents divorced. Her mom moves to Los Angeles, marries an actor, and Sherilyn comes with. Her mom has another daughter, and her mom starts acting while working as a waitress.
Okay.
So
providing for the family. And the man stayed where?
I don't know. He's not relevant at this point. And Sherilyn even says that her stepfather is who she considers her father.
Okay.
But he drinks a lot and her mom remarries again and often. So Sherilyn had a turbulent childhood.
Yeah.
She was quite poor for a lot of times in her life.
She could have been
and like, at one point was using rubber bands to hold her shoes together. Like,
damn.
That level of wealth.
You're the manager of Dad's RS. You got so many dads, you can't get shoelaces? I'm just kidding.
That's our take on poverty.
That's not my take on poverty. That's my take on having a lot of dads. Not even one of them has cash, man.
Oh, man.
Sucks.
Turbulent.
Okay.
But by fifth grade, Sherilyn has passion.
Oh.
She's all about performing, and she's, like, badass at
performing what?
Stage, musical, singing.
Okay.
Everything.
All right.
So she literally produced, as a fifth grader, she produced Oklahoma in her school. She organized all the girls to perform.
Damn.
But she had trouble finding boys to perform, so she performed the male roles herself.
Period.
So she's already just out here.
She's like, fuck it. If no one's going to do it, I will.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. In 1961, when Sherilyn was 15, her mom marries a wealthy bank manager, and he ends up adopting her under the name Cheryl.
See? So, working at Dad's R Us has its benefits.
I guess so.
You get a wealthy stepfather.
Uh-huh. And then she goes to, or she gets enrolled at a private school. And she was considered unconventional there.
Yeah.
She was creative and would perform songs for her peers during lunch. Later recalling, I was never really in school. I was always thinking about when I was grown up and famous.
Oh, okay. So she's one of those kids?
Yeah.
That, like, brings the guitar to school because they know three chords on the guitar?
Right.
And then...
Well, and I don't think it was cringy. I think she was actually good. And okay, it was probably a little cringy.
So cringy.
And her grades... I saw multiple reports. Some of them say she had bad grades. Uh-huh. Some of them said she had really good grades. Some of them said she was intelligent. So my thought is she's intelligent, but she also has dyslexia. So I think that weaves into there somehow.
Okay.
Anyway, she's bringing her guitar to school and performing. Yep.
Anyways, there's Wonderwall. Wish you could sit. That's not it. Never mind.
But grown up and famous, she did become. A year later, Cher drops out of school, runs away from home, and starts supporting herself working in clubs on Hollywood's Sunset Strip.
Yes! Oh my God, Cher!
Yes. Yeah. So before we go on, her story is fucking complicated.
Okay.
And I'm leaving so much out.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible to do her story justice just to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
She's had a 70-year career, essentially. She's 75.
She started when she was 5?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hell yeah.
Okay, maybe a 60-year career.
Okay.
Because she starts when she's in her teens.
Yeah.
So, a long-ass career. And she's always been active. So, for us to just tell everything, it's impossible. And I'm going to breeze over some very important developmental information because of this.
Okay.
But I'm choosing specific things that I do want to talk about that lead up to the story here.
Okay.
So, there's a lot here. I'm going to leave a lot out. If you don't know who Cher is...
who the fuck are you? Huh?
She's considered the goddess of pop, and she's received at least 170 awards for her work. Including a Grammy, an Emmy, an Academy Award, 3 Golden Globe Awards, a Billboard Icon Award, and awards from the Kennedy Center and the Council of Fashion Designers of America, just to start. So much. Yes?
Golden Globes?
Yeah.
What'd she get a Golden Globe for?
Isn't that acting?
That's TV.
TV? Yeah. So she's been an actress. Emmy. She's been a movie star. She's been a performer.
Christina Aguilera, that one movie.
Yeah, she's been in, Burlesque. no, that's like, she's done musicals.
Yeah.
She's done, it's incredible.
She's our mom.
Yes. Okay, now for the part I'm really skimming over. Cher's background.
Yeah.
1962, Cher just ran away from home.
Okay.
She had a rough relationship with her mom. There was a time that her mom left her at, it sounded like a church or something, for like a couple days and didn't pick her up. Cher is like, you know what? Fine. I'm just going to.
I'm Cher.
I'm going to go my own way.
What about us? What about everything we've been through?
Yeah. So she's dropped out of school. She's. She's living her own life.
Yeah.
And she's in LA.
Okay.
She's willing to approach anyone. She wants auditions and contracts, so she's just going after it.
Period.
And then in November 1962, she's at a radio station and she overheard some other girls chatting about a guy who is about to arrive.
Okay.
In walks Sonny Bono. And to Cher, everything fades into the background. And she says this is like the gym scene in West Side Story. She was fascinated, saying he was the strangest man she'd ever seen in her life.
Wait, Sonny Bono?
Yeah.
From U2.
Bono, right?
Bono?
Sonny Bono.
Bono?
I think it's Bono.
Is it not Bono? Am I thinking of the same person or different people?
Sonny and Cher.
Got it.
I don't know U2 well enough. Bono. But
that was the...
I think it's Bono. Okay, but sounds anyway.
Good. Sonny and Cher, I know that.
Yep.
Okay.
They chat. She lies about her age.
Nice.
Because she's only 16.
Ooh.
And she's looking for a place to live. And yeah. She says she can clean but can't cook. And eventually he offers her a place to stay because he's not attracted to her. He's like, you can live here and clean. You can be our housekeeper because I'm not attracted to you.
Barf. Shut and
he's,
up.
I think he was 26 at the time, so he's significantly older.
Okay, either he's saying, you're so fucking ugly that the only job you're allowed to do in my house is clean. Or he's saying, you're such a fucking woman that the only thing you can do in my house is clean.
You know what?
Or he's romanticizing some weird kink he has about maids. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Anyway, she ends up recording as a backup singer for Sonny, and they become good friends, both from living together and, you know.
Yeah.
Initially, I was going to do an episode just on their relationship because it's fucking fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little tidbit. She used to tell her mom that she lived with, I think, a secretary, something like that. She lived with a woman. And her mom would come over and call before she'd be like, Sherilyn, I'm on my way. And so Cher would always like hide his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But to hide his clothes, a lot of times that meant she'd scoop them all up, run down to the street to her friend's house and dump them in their living room window. So he kept losing his clothes. One time he found like some underwear on the street and was like, Sherilyn, you got to stop doing this.
Yeah. What the fuck, man?
Anyway, this super deep relationship, super interesting history.
Doing that to Annabelle. And,
wait, whenever, but this isn't really...
I have a man over next. I'm going to panic. I'm going to take all the shit that's on the floor in my room, and I'm going to pile it up, and then I'm going to take it upstairs, and I'm going to throw it into Annabelle's room and close the door.
Finders keepers.
Okay.
Anyways, so she's recording as a backup singer, and they end up recording an actual song together. One of their first songs, Ringo, I Love You, wasn't received well because people thought that Cher's deep contra alto voice was a man's, and he was singing a love song for the Beatles drummer, Ringo Starr. So they were like, this is too gay for us. So it didn't pop off. Anyway, they start singing. She and Sonny fall in love and have an unofficial wedding in 1964. So they've known each other 2 years now.
Damn.
They perform together for decades. First, they get their big break in 1965 when they end up touring in England after they were advised to do so because they'd pop off there and not the US. And things just go uphill from there. That was a not good transition, because the next sentence is, by the 1970s, their music stops charting. They were very square. Yeah. Sonny and Cher were very square.
Yes.
And it's mostly because of Sonny's direction. He was who had the artistic control between the two of them. And they were anti-drug and very square when it came to sex. And so they were performing folk rock.
Yeah.
And not like new electric guitar music.
Well, yeah, because it's 1968. Like, rock and roll is starting to make its comeback. Yeah. Sorry, 70s.
Yeah.
The Beatles are already doing their fucking thing. And Sonny and Cher singing about how they like vanilla sex. Like,
literally. Literally. So they end up launching a TV program, the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. And we're just going to buzz past this portion because it's complex and not related to the story.
I want to hear more about that now.
But they start having marital problems.
Oh, boy.
But they stay together because they've got this show and they want to have good appearances. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they do divorce in 1974. It was messy. Sonny files the divorce and Cher counters the suit, charging Sonny with involuntary servitude.
Period. And that's what I'm fucking talking about, Cher.
Right, right. So because he was her producer,
so smart.
She was thinking he was taking more of the pie than he should have been, whatever. Yeah. It all sounds horrible. They fought over custody over their child, Chaz Bono. Cher eventually gets custody.
Chaz.
It sounds like a Britney situation.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's hard to say. They were friends, or they were friendly for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So the rest of Sonny's life. So it's hard to tell what actually happened. They ended up appearing as friends until Sonny died in a skiing accident. And Cher spoke at his funeral in 1998. And said he was the most unforgettable person she'd ever met.
Didn't she say he was the weirdest person?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So she's just closing the loop.
Yeah. But, I mean, the oddest and, like, most unforgettable can be the same person.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was hooked when I watched this eulogy video. And as someone that didn't live through this, first of all, it fills in a lot of the gaps for me, but also just moving crazy, like, you lose the guy that you've once loved, but I don't know. It's so complicated. There's so many emotions. It's on the blog if you want to watch it.
Oh, the eulogy. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Video of the eulogy.
Got it.
Okay. So this is 1998.
Okay.
This is a huge year for Cher. Sonny dies. Cher delivers her eulogy. And in May, she airs a CBS special tribute to him.
Okay.
Also in May, Sonny and Cher receive their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She also publishes a collection of autobiographical essays this year.
Yes. I have a question. Does Cher have two stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? I feel like she does.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. She fucking better.
Right? Right?
Just saying. Okay. Anyways. Sorry.
And then in June, she releases her 19th album, Heart of Stone, which features her hit single, fucking crazy. Anyways, Heart of Stone features her hit single, If I Could Turn Back Time. We will come back to this later. Later. If I could find a way. Exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm really excited.
Okay, later in 1998, she also releases her 20 fucking second album.
What happened to 20 and 21?
She obviously also released those too, but we're not talking about them.
She released four albums in a year?
I guess so.
She was just, okay, Sonny died and she said, thank God, I've had this gold mine that I've been just sitting on, so I'm going to release it all at once.
Let me just verify.
If I could turn back time, if I could no way. Do I sound like Cher?
So a little clerical error. So, her 19th album, Heart of Stone, was released in 1989, and I flipped the digits. So, not that shocking.
So, she only released three albums in 1998. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, I'm not saying anything about 1998.
Oh,
I'm saying
you just,
she released her 19th in 1989, and in 1998, she releases her 22nd album, Believe.
Got it. You believe.
Yes. So it was her first dance pop album. It has been certified quadruple platinum and is gold or platinum in 39 countries.
So cool.
Her title track on the album became the UK best-selling record of 1998 and the US best-selling record in 1999.
Absolutely.
It shares most successful single to date.
Yes.
It was the best-selling single by any female artist in the UK until 2018. She received a Grammy and a Billboard Music Award for Believe. Also, it is so fucking popular that if you Google the word Believe with no context, the album is in the first couple results, like among dictionary definitions for Believe. Like, that is unbelievable.
Believe it. Cher told you that you need to believe it. So good.
Okay, we've arrived pretty much.
Yeah.
Cher is rising to fame. She's also becoming a gay icon. And her song, Believe, is becoming a gay anthem.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, she was an autonomous female artist who is already celebrated for being autonomous as a female artist.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't relying on any man to make her music shine. She was an early third wave feminist and was presenting sexuality without questioning it. She wasn't hiding her body because it made men uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
She's putting out culturally shocking music videos, like If I Could Turn Back Time, where she dances on the USS Missouri in a sexy, tight leather thong, revealing a butt tattoo while she's surrounded by hundreds of Navy sailors and literally straddling a cannon.
I love this woman so much.
Right? Right? That music video for If I Could Turn Back Time was the first music video ever banned from MTV. Because it was considered offensive because you're on this warship.
Yeah. Just,
anyway.
Bussing one open. All the way open.
Yeah. Okay. Believe.
Yes.
Gay anthem.
Yes.
The song initially sounded different. When they're writing it, they were like, okay, chorus is a hit, but the rest of the song's kind of meh. So they rewrote the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it a gay anthem? Isn't she straight? Like, what's the deal? How is she an icon? How does this make sense? Why can you walk into a gay bar and definitely hear Believe at least once?
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal?
Yeah.
Let's get a dictionary definition to start. What is a gay anthem?
Oh.
A gay anthem is a popular song that the LGBTQ community identifies with. Often they're not written to be gay anthems, but end up being gay anthems because of their content or their popularity in gay spaces.
Okay.
So, just from the get-go, if we look at Cher's story, her story aligns a lot with queer folk of the 1980s, 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
You have a rough relationship with your family.
Mm-hmm.
You have loss of love either because your friends and lovers are dying because of AIDS. Like, there's so many pieces that fit into this of why she would be considered
a gay icon.
She has some of the similar traits of queer people that just went through that. And she sings about it in her music.
Would it be appropriate to consider her an honorary member of the gay party?
I would say she's an ally.
Queer party. So an honorary member.
I guess that, but I mean, allyship is so many different ways, but she does effective allyship.
I think it's appropriate to give Cher and Cher.
She can have every part of me.
Cher like, and Cher only the title of honorary member of the queers.
Yeah.
I find it fitting.
Okay, the only reason that I don't is because she's never come out and outright said, that she's bi or gay or... She's got a lot of people in her life that are.
Yeah.
She has a trans son, first of all.
Yeah.
But, like, allyship, because you love people that are queer, doesn't make you queer.
No.
So that's my only, like...
But she's famous and she's Cher, so she deserves an honorary spot. I'm just kidding. I know. I understand what you're saying.
Okay, so this is kind of a diversion, but it's really fucking fascinating. There's a list of gay anthems on Wikipedia, and it's fucking fascinating.
I was going to ask you where you got your definition of gay anthem from.
Yep.
Wikipedia?
Yep.
Nice.
Well, and I stitched a little bit together.
Wikipedia is an ally.
It is. So this list has everything from 1937, My Funny Valentine.
Oh my
to
God.
Show tunes like Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Somewhere from West Side Story. And then songs like Dolly's I Will Always Love You, ABBA hits, Tracy Chapman, Melissa Etheridge, Sarah Bareilles, Ariana Grande, and Lil Nas X.
It all sounds really gay.
A century at least of queer tunes.
My Funny Valentine is considered a gay anthem.
Yes.
That's so fucking funny.
So if you go, you can either get to this article from the blog, wearinabasement.com, if you want to see the full list, or in the episode notes, we also have the playlist of all of these songs.
Oh,
so
just hop on
Spotify and shuffle this playlist all Pride Month. You'll
That's why we're doing this episode, huh? I forgot.
Yeah, yeah. You'll hear Montero, and then next song will be My Funny Valentine.
Just hit shuffle. You'll go for a ride.
Okay. Let's break down, really get gritty.
Okay.
Why this is a gay anthem.
Okay.
Why Believe by Cher is a gay anthem.
Okay.
First of all, Cher has always been an advocate for queer people. As early as 1979, we have evidence of her as an ally. She hired two drag queens to perform alongside her. And this is one of the first times a mainstream culture accepted artist, somebody that is on stage with Square Ol' Sunny, is also inviting drag queens up on stage to perform next to her and is paying them.
Yeah.
In addition, she stated that when she was 12, it was the first time she met a gay couple that her mom was friends with. So this would have been 1958, the same year that NASA was created. She said they were much more fun than the regular men that came over to visit.
Yeah.
Granted, this is in a 2012 interview with the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or GLAAD. But since the interview was in 2012, who really knows if she was an ally when she was 12? Okay, second reason why Believe and fucking Cher. Cher is a queer icon. She rarely uses hard pronouns in her songs. Her love songs rarely fit a single sexuality, unless she's like, gimme, gimme, gimme. Like, sure, there are some songs where it's very clear that she's into men, but otherwise, she's never like, you touch my breast, and I touch your chest. Like, she never...
That's Cher. No, I understand. She doesn't say, like, him or he or she... If she's writing in a third person, she just says it's either them or it's, you know what I mean? Or it's not directly, like, if you think about Believe, no matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside and I can't break through.
Yeah, there's no
he, she, they, them.
Yeah, which.
It's just you and me, baby.
Inherently makes it queer friendly.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, who you love, Believe is applicable to your story.
Yeah.
Third, Believe sounded futuristic.
Yes, it fucking
did. It was like Cher reinvented. It was dance music from an artist that hadn't ever released dance music. The song uses what was then a brand new effect, now dubbed the Cher effect.
Yes, what is that?
So the producers used auto-tune to correct pitches set to the fastest possible correction time. So this results in an almost robotic sound, but still a very human vocal track.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the auto-tune, for people that don't quite understand it, is it immediately corrects the note and then switches back to her normal voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a very slight correction that makes it sound robotic, but she's still got her beautiful Cher contralto voice, which is why the Cher effect works.
Yeah, and a lot of people nowadays, well, not as much anymore, but in the like 2000s and 2010s, auto-tune was very heavily popular. I remember back when I was in like high school, people would talk shit on people that used auto-tune. And like, there's nothing wrong with using auto-tune. Auto-tune doesn't make a shitty singer sound good. A shitty singer is a shitty singer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is a shitty singer.
Well, and I think it depends. Like, there's a time and a place.
Right. I don't think Josh Groban should be using auto-tune.
Exactly.
But Cher, she can use all the fucking auto-tune she wants. Yeah. T-Pain, he can use auto-tune.
Right. But the other thing is, she's using it in a way that is very subtle. It's like sprinkles on top of a cake.
Yeah, you really don't notice it as much with Cher's music as you do with, say, like what I just said, T-Pain.
Right.
His auto-tune is very, very noticeable.
Yeah.
Travis Scott's auto-tune is very noticeable.
Yeah. Okay, reason four why I believe is a gay anthem.
Yes.
It's lasted the test time and has been adopted by the queer community. That is, I think, the biggest reason.
Yeah.
Like, if a song is played in queer spaces and the queer people choose to play the song, then it is a gay anthem.
Yeah.
Like, same thing as what is a classic, something that's still relevant after 25 years.
Yeah.
Also, she was 50 fucking two when she put out this song.
Cher's never gonna die.
Like, she's 52 and she's popping out Believe.
Yeah.
How?
She is never gonna die.
I hope
she was sent here from a different universe. From the sky, where she is in charge of it all. And she came down to Earth and said, I can fix this.
Her father was a truck driver. Her mom was a model.
And her grandfather was God. Congrats. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, I want a research study done. I want a research study done on how many queer people know Believe. Out of 10 queer people that we, at every...
Know the lyrics or know the...
400 people that we surveyed.
How many of them could sing along? Some percent
of them could sing along to X, Y, and Z by Cher. Believe by Cher.
I'd be game for that. That'd be really cool.
I want that right now.
Yeah. But the other thing is, like, there's scene queer people that are going to go to the club and hear that there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other communities of queer people that don't hang out in queer spaces like that. And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's been performed in drag thousands of times, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
I think partially Cher, her personality, her voice, her fashion, like, it all works really well in drag to begin with. So being a queer icon and having all those boxes checked,
and she has, Cher is fucking beautiful. She has that face shape, too. She has a very masculine-leaning face shape. Like, her jaw... And that deep voice definitely helps as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll come back to that in the next one. Fifth reason, she continues to be a queer ally and has been awarded for it.
Aww.
In 1983, she performed in the movie Silkwood as a gay woman, which usually, like, no, straight people, you shouldn't be playing gay parts. Cis people, you shouldn't be playing trans parts.
Yeah. Able-bodied people shouldn't be playing people with disabilities.
Exactly.
Whether, like, that's autism or in a wheelchair.
Right. There are actors out there that are fully capable of doing those parts, so why are you choosing somebody?
Because she's pretty and blonde.
Yeah. That's why I have beef with the whole Love, Simon, Love, Victor thing. Like, you could have hired a gay dude for both of those.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't remember.
It's like one of the popular... queer films right now.
Films
was popular, but I think I watched Love, Simon, and I can't remember if the actor is actually gay, but I'm pretty sure Love, Victor, the actor is not, and I had beef, so I didn't watch it.
Okay.
But yeah, don't do that.
I won't. Don't worry.
1997, Cher was recognized as an LGBT community advocate and was invited to be a keynote speaker at the National Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, or PFLAG, convention.
I'm sorry.
That's what it's called.
It's just a little silly. Come get your pee flags. Piss down on ourselves. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I'm 6 years old.
I guess so.
No, that's cool. Parents and friends of what?
Parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays.
Pee flag.
It's an ally group.
Yeah.
In 1998, she received the GLAAD Vanguard Award for having made a significant difference in promoting equal rights for lesbian and gay men. It's an award presented to an entertainer who isn't queer, but has made a significant difference in promoting queer rights. So,
okay.
Good for her.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, her status as a gay icon was acknowledged by NBC sitcom Will and Grace by gay character Jack McFarland. Jack believed that she was a drag queen and thought he could do a better Cher himself. Which, like, same. I didn't realize Cher wasn't a drag queen for a little while.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I grew up thinking that Cher was a drag queen.
Wow.
Which, like, I don't know how I arrived at that destination. Yeah.
But
I would love to know how you arrived at that destination. We should ask your mom about that. Hey, mom, why did Colin think that Cher was a drag queen as a child? Can you answer? Can you riddle me that, please?
I don't know. No.
What did you expose him to as a child that made him think that Cher was a drag queen?
Right.
I just thought Cher was Cher. She was the lady with the deep voice.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep, I guess so.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, her child is out as a lesbian.
Okay.
And then in 2010, her son comes out as trans.
Nice.
Which isn't like any sort of proof that Cher is an ally, but right. her openness about their relationship and her support of Chaz since he came out definitely means a lot, especially because of Cher's status. She's very openly loved her son and talked about her discomfort of when he came out and how she came to terms with it and learned how to love him for who he is, mm-hmm. whatever, which I think is really powerful, not being like, oh, he's my son, I love him, of course, whatever. It's right. it's like, yeah, no shit, but like parents are going to go through challenges, and if she can be an advocate and say, this is what I went through, and she found a way to be supportive and loving.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Yeah. That's the highly abbreviated story of why Believe is the hit it was Ugh. And still is today.
What a fucking banger, bro. Oh my God. Ugh. When that song comes on, I go feral.
I know.
Feral.
I think we started an episode with you singing it.
Yes, we did. Ugh. I love that fucking song.
It's such a good song. And it's the reason why young twinks are still bopping to this 30-year-old bop. And it's why a 76-year-old legend is still writing music for queer people. Oh, yeah. When this comes out, she's going to be 76.
Oh, my God.
Because her birthday is May 20th.
Happy birthday, Cher.
Happy birthday.
We love you so much. So, Kiss so your much. Local Cher.
Support your local woman.
Everybody go support your local woman. Cher. Cher's the only woman in the world.
I believe it. Oh, yeah.
Cher.
Legend.
Love you.
Legend.
Mm-hmm. Everybody kiss your local woman. No, support your local woman. Stay away from her.
support her from afar.
Yeah, support her from afar. All
like
right.
a really far bra.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Well, thank you for teaching me about Cher.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful time.
If y'all want to hear more about her, I got loads more.
I love Cher.
She's incredible.
Colin's Cher Chair. Part one. You're welcome.
Oh, so good.
You owe me $50 for that.
Fuck.
But yeah, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed Colin's Cher Chair, leave a comment or a review. What do people do?
Like, review. Comment, subscribe, retweet.
Like again, and then like it one more time because you undid the first like when you did it. Yep. Anyways, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week when we talk about...
Bye!